Welcome to another edition of Quest Youth Radio, which is the best youth radio, better known as Quest Community Vibration. And without even wasting any more time, music like poetry has a message, and history like a diamond shines clear to the truth. You see, words have meanings that we can comprehend, like definitions. News can show us a chain of events that we may not always understand. Now I'm asking you to pull back the musical curtain to see and hear the contributions of our diaspora, and you are sure to find our Quest moment where we attempt to make waves, indeed, vibration. So I thank you once again for joining us to hear a different perspective of our community. Now, this morning, our student host presents, and that's Mr. Walter Pierce, examines the life of the greatest of all time, professional boxer, activist, entertainer, poet, and philanthropist, Muhammad Ali. And for his Diamond of the Week, that's for his Diamond of the Week. And for his next segment, he'll define the word sacrifice. That'll be his definition. And the curtain of the week will cover the musical female icon, Rihanna, Fenty,
right,
that's right, a fashion designer and businesswoman. Now, without any more hesitation, on my end of the game, let me bring in our student host, Mr. Walter Pierce. Walter, good morning.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to another edition of Quest Community Vibrations, live on 89.5 from the campus of Seton Hall in South Orange. And without any further ado, I would like to get into my first segment of today, which is diamonds. And see, history is like a diamond. Each prism represents the work of a group of people at a particular period of time. Look into the diamond and see the reflections of your past self, the pain of your mother, the choice of your father, and the blood of your ancestors. Look deeply, and you are bound to find yourself. Now again, my diamond for this week is Muhammad Ali. And see, Ali was born January 17, 1942, in Louisville, Kentucky. His birth name was actually Cassius Clay, Jr. And at an early age, young Clay showed that he wasn't afraid of any bout, inside or outside of the ring. Growing up in the segregated South, he experienced racial prejudice and discrimination firsthand. At the age of 12, Clay discovered his talent for boxing through an odd twist of fate. After his bike was stolen, Clay told a police officer, Joe Martin, that he wanted to beat up the thief. So Clay started working with Martin to learn how to spar and soon began his boxing career. In the first amateur bout in 1954, he won by a split decision. Clay went on to win the 1956 Golden Gloves Tournament in the light heavyweight class. 3 years later, he won the National Golden Gloves Tournament of Champions, as well as the Amateur Athletic Union's national title for the light heavyweight division. Clay also participated in the U.S. boxing team and traveled to Rome, Italy to compete. After his Olympic victory, Clay was commended as an American hero. He was turned professional with the backing of the Louisville sponsoring group and continued overwhelming all opponents in the ring. And this is around where Cassius Clay changes his name when he joins the Black Muslim group, the Nation of Islam, in 1964. At first, he actually called himself Cassius X, but then ended up settling with the name Muhammad Ali. And the boxer eventually converted to Orthodox Islam in the 1970s. Muhammad Ali was also somebody who was very outspoken, and he was actually drafted into the military in 1967, but he refused to serve on the ground that he was practicing a Muslim minister with religious beliefs that prevented him from fighting. Muhammad Ali also was against just going out there and just killing a lot of people, and that was one of the other reasons why he did not, you know, want to go out to Vietnam just to kill people who were could have been innocent and also just act in that. So he was very outspoken for that, and that eventually led him to being arrested and stripped of his world title boxing license. And, you know, but during his boxing career, you know, he had a lot of great bouts with a lot of different boxers. You can include the names of Sonny Liston, Joe Frazier, George Foreman, Leon Spinks, and Larry Holmes. All five tremendous boxers that he has fought. And, you know, George Foreman was probably the most known, you know, when they went out to Zaire in Africa and they fought out there. And during that fight as well, Ali was actually set as the underdog for the bigger, massive, and younger Foreman. But silenced his critics with his massive performance and ended up winning in an 8-round knockout to reclaim his heavyweight title. But, you know, even though Muhammad Ali, people always argue, you know, who's the greatest boxer of all time? You know, even Mr. Bay says, you know, Muhammad Ali is the greatest of all time. And we all could believe that. And the reason is, not just on the boxing ring, but we can even go you know, besides that. And we could talk about, you know, in his retirement, his philanthropy. You know, he devoted much of his time to things like the Special Olympics and the Make-A-Wish Foundation and amongst many other organizations. In 1996, he lit the Olympic torch in the Summer Olympic Games in Atlanta. And it was a very emotional moment in sports history. And he ended up traveling, helping out different countries, which included Mexico and Morocco, you know, to help those out in need. And in 1998, he was chosen to be the United Nations Messenger of Peace because of his work in developing nations. So again, that concludes what I have for Muhammad Ali here. And really the theme and the message I'm trying to spread is, you know, when you think about who's probably the greatest athlete, depending on what other sport it is, basketball, football, any sport that you think of, you shouldn't just think of, you know, what they do on the either boxing ring, as we're talking about Muhammad Ali, but what do they also do besides that? What work do they do for the community? What things have they saying? How outspoken are they? And you can't argue with the Muhammad Ali, because he has been somebody who has been as much outspoken as great he has been on the ring as well. So, you know, that's probably why I think Mr. Bay says he's the greatest of all time. And, you know, I want to pass it on to you and everybody else on the panel, you know, for comments and questions about today's segment.
Okay. Thank you so much. Now, with all transparency, I want to say that Walter has actually done Muhammad Ali before, but we're going to do it again. Because, like, he kept on saying, hey, this man is the greatest of all time. And I want to bring on, first of all, I want to say good morning, our black librarian, right? Yes,
good morning.
I'm taking possession. I'm taking possession of you, brother, Mr. Tamir Davis. And I want you to speak to the fact, as we talk about Muhammad Ali, I want you to focus in and give us some background information, because it has been said that as he developed Parkinson's disease and he wasn't able to talk and communicate as well as he was in his younger days, a lot of people pretty much had said that he was more accepted in his latter days than he was when he was truly outspoken.
I would like to first say good morning to everybody and good morning to the show. And when I think in terms of Muhammad Ali, I think in terms of these traditions, what was going on prior to the cultural traditions of black athletes. And one person that comes to mind that is closely related to Muhammad Ali, in my opinion, and he was not a boxer, he was a football player, is Paul Robeson. Paul Robeson was perhaps one of the most outspoken activists in terms of human rights, in terms of socialism, in terms of just dealing with the race. The fight for race relations and equality in America. And it was always a struggle for equality across the board for black Latinos and other different ethnic groups in this country. So Muhammad Ali, although he's known as a great fighter, he was known also equally as a great activist, as a great spokesman, as a person that stood up for rights in the country, and that permeated, and that actually went beyond his boxing, him being a pugilist in the ring, and being a really really great pugilist, but it went beyond that because he touched the hearts of everybody in the country and people throughout the world. Him being able to be resilient despite the boxing charter, having his license taken away as a boxer, he still was outspoken. And he had his boxing license taken away because he did not agree with the Vietnamese war or the war in Vietnam. He didn't agree with that, and he didn't agree with the draft. That was a ripple effect for not just African Americans, but for every ethnic group in the country that opposed the war. So that speaks volumes. In terms of his later years, I think he was revered and respected in his later years, and perhaps some people respected what he had done as a pugilist, as a boxer, as a fighter, as a stand-up person. And he perhaps was revered more so in his later years. I'm looking at it from a socialistic perspective. You don't have a lot of boxers today who are outspoken, who are speaking for human rights, who are speaking for – you don't see that like the way you've seen it in Muhammad Ali. It seems as if it after Muhammad Ali, I haven't seen a fighter speak in terms of human rights and stand up and even put his license on the line to do so. So when you see people today, say, for example, even if you look at the rappers and what's going on, you don't have a lot of rappers talking about stop the violence. That's not a part of the culture of the young folks today. They're not talking about human rights and to that in a great magnitude. It's always about engaging in hedonism and stuff like that and having money and pseudo opulence, all this other type of stuff. So I think, in my opinion, he was revered more so in his later years because they perhaps seen all of the work that he put in and how it impacted during that particular time. And then when you look at today, you don't see that type of interest of being stand up guy and being stoic about your approach and making sure that everybody's engaged in equality. Thank you.
Okay. Yeah, you know what? Thank you so much for that detailed, in-depth perspective on Muhammad Ali, the greatest of all time. But now I want to bring in Mr. Harris. Mr. Harris, before you speak, let me say good morning to you. And also, I want you to highlight and bring out the evolution of a man and or a person. As people grow and evolve, they learn to find themselves. And Walter mentioned the fact that it's just not important what you do on the athletic field or ring, but it's important what you do in the community. But I posted a picture of Muhammad Ali in London, England, with a black derby dressed as a European. And that was before he had joined the Nation of Islam. Now, the conversation Mr. Harris and I had is the evolvement of a man to learn that you don't have to be someone else. You don't have to become successful and think that you have to become or an example or a poster child for being having European attributes to talk about your success, but how you can still remain and be yourself. Help me out, Mr. Harris. Mr. Harris, good morning, first of all.
Good morning. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning,
yeah, like we were talking about earlier, you know, there's a transitional thing that we as a people used to get caught up in, you know, where we equated success with how much we were like other cultures instead of how much we were being ourselves. And, you know, and using the reference of that picture of Muhammad Ali being, when he was younger, you know, just trying to emulate, okay, I have money now, I have, you know, status, so I should be able to be a part of your society. And, you know, but the dominant society has never accepted us as being part of their group, except when it came down to monetary gain or something that had to do with money, you know, but then you really couldn't get to be a part of what they were because it looked like you was always negating who you were by trying to be part of their society. And, you know, and Muhammad Ali was able to transcend that mindset when, you know, once he found the Nation of Islam. And, you know, and the first thing when they talked about in the Nation of Islam back then was that the black man is God, you know, and people was like, well, why are you going to say that you're God? You know, because we have been brainwashed into thinking that we were less than for hundreds of years. So Elijah Muhammad and the Nation of Islam was like, well, let me just flip that whole script. You know, we're going to be God and the white man's going to be the devil. And we're going to work on building a society where we are in charge of our own destiny. You know, that's he used the Marcus Garvey slogan of do for self. You know, and this was something that transcended the whole thing. And Muhammad Ali was a perfect example. Him and Malcolm X had the same kind of transition. But he was a perfect example of someone who started out looking to be part of something else and then turned out to find out that you were better at being who you wanted to be instead of who people thought you should be. And that transition made him with the people's chant. And the people's chant means not necessarily what he did in the ring, but the things he was doing outside of the ring. You know, he was one of the most, and I'm going to say his name was known all over the world. Everybody in the world know who Muhammad Ali was, you know, and he used that to help propagate the different ideas and stuff of his personal beliefs. And most of those came down to who you have to be in order to be who you truly should be. And, you know, and it was rough, but he transcended all of that. That's why we call him the greatest.
Thank you so much. Great input. Tanisha Gardner, good morning. How are you? And do you have a question or a comment? Because I don't know what to ask you, but I want to bring you in on the conversation. What do you think? What do you know? Do you have a question about Muhammad Ali, the greatest of all time?
I guess what I would say, everybody pretty much said everything. So I guess what I would say is we just take his example of what he did and we apply it to our lives and don't be afraid to stand up for the truth because people need to know the truth so they could, you know, be a better person. Sometimes people are afraid to tell people, what's right. And, you know, and some people can't take constructive criticism, you know, to better their lives. And especially, you know, when you're dealing with human rights, that means as a human being, we have a right to live the best lives that God has given us. And no one has a right to interfere with that. And we have a right to stand up for that. So that's what I would say.
Thank you so much for your perspective. And you said a lot, believe it or not. Muhammad Ali, great job, Walter. I love the segment. I love the man and what he stood for. Being yourself is what it's all about. And learning to love yourself is where you need to be. With that being said, we're going to musically transcend and transition to who do you love? It better be yourself.
7. I fed them the things they love to hear. I never was wanting for a lover, but I never knew what true love was in me. Girl, I'm in love with you, sure as the sky is blue. Just let me prove to you, yes, girl, my love is true. Girl, I'm in love with you, sure as the sky is blue. Just let me prove to you, yes, girl, my love is true. A great pretender. For the very first time, I'm for real. You got me listening to my heart now. You gotta believe how I feel. I'm ready to become the giver. Now that I'm alive, it's give and take. Ooh, your love has broken my decision.
Community Vibrations, better known as Quest Youth Radio, the best youth radio. And we turn it back over to our student host, Mr. Walter Pierce, and I can't say it enough, good morning. And for the audience out there, wake up.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome back to the show. Now it is time for my second segment of today, which is definitions. And see, this segment provides a listener with words and their meaning so that we could achieve together a common basis to say we care and we believe in ourselves. Remember, whosoever controls our definitions controls us. We must define existence and not have it defined for us. And my definition for this week is sacrifice. And see, sacrifice has multiple definitions, But the definition I'm going to use for today is an act of giving up something valued for the sake of someone else regarded as more important or worthy. Now, really, when we talk about making sacrifices in that way, we're talking about basically giving up what you want for what everybody else needs or what somebody else needs. So I know we all have instances in our life where we had to make a sacrifice like that. And really, I would just like to ask everybody in the panel today that question of if you could think of like a time or just a situation where you had to give up something that you wanted for what somebody else needed or for what you even needed as well. I'm passing on to the panel right now.
Wow, you know, that's a loaded question, Walter, but I still appreciate it, right? And so I'm going to kick that one off myself. When my mom became sickly before she transitioned, she had passed away, I had to make a decision. I wanted to move out of state and look for greener pastures, so to speak. And I had to make a decision whether I would sacrifice what I wanted to do for myself to be there for my mom in the event that she needed me. And honestly, I made that sacrifice. I'm glad that I did. And Mr. Harrison knows this. You know, I've adapted a new, for me, new 5x5. And what that means is anything that's not going to matter 5 years from now is not worth worrying about 5 minutes of your time. And before I even knew what that meant, I had decided that for my future, it would mean a lot to me to make a sacrifice to be there for my mom as she was sickly. And you can hear me, it's kind of hard for me to speak of it because it's true. All right. And so with full transparency, Walter, that is a sacrifice that I feel that I made for the benefit of my family and for the benefit of my mom. And if I had it to do all over again, I definitely would, right? And I trust that that kind of answers your question. I know you weren't looking for that type of answer, but why not? Now, I'm going to bring in Mr. Harris, and I'm going to put him on the spot. And Mr. Harris, you heard the question, man. You don't have to go as far as I did, but what can you share?
Yeah, well, sacrifices is really kind of deep because it really shows a very unselfish part of yourself. And it's something that we don't necessarily want to do, but it's something that turns out to something that you have to do for your own well-being and for the benefit of others. And as far as examples, there are numerous examples in my life, but I don't really want to get into that right now. But it's very important that we understand that some things are greater than ourselves, and we have to focus on those issues sometimes. You know, even though they say self-preservation is the first law of nature, sometimes you have to do things for other people that could benefit them more than it can benefit you. And to me, that's the true sacrifice.
Okay. We'll take that. I want to bring in Tanisha. And good morning again. And take it away. You don't have to go as far as I did, but please, indeed, it is your turn to go.
When I think about sacrifice, I guess sometimes you got to sacrifice the things that are blocking you in your own life. And you have to sometimes just cut it off to make yourself better and work on yourself to make it better. I guess at the end of the day, I guess everything's about love. And how do we treat each other at the end of the day? And those are the sacrifices that we make to help build relationships and make things stronger and, you know, make things better. That's what sacrifice is to me.
Okay. Thank you so much. And now our Black librarian, Mr. Tamir Davis, talk to me.
Good morning. I think we are because of us. I don't know if I'm phrasing it right. I think it's a saying, "Imutu imutu ablimbantu." So we are, I am because of you. So everything that I do, whether I'm working, what's in the library, helping out family, giving people advice, them giving me advice. See, when you make sacrifices, there's an exchange, I believe, that takes place. When you make the sacrifice, the Creator sometimes makes room for you, for others to make the sacrifice for you. So I never went out my way, and it never happened in return in one way or another. Like, for example, I gave my last $50 that was in my pocket to somebody, and I got into a tight jam. I didn't see him until two or three years later. He helped me out, and I didn't even expect that the help came from him. So you never know how far your sacrifices may go, you know, in the future. So I always try my damnedest to go out my way and engage in goodwill. And it's important to do that because that's what makes a community whole.
Okay. You know, Walter, as I turn back and look at you, brought out a person who made a sacrifice, Muhammad Ali. He sacrificed, and you mentioned his boxing license for what he believed in and his personal conviction. And from this panel and our discussion that we're having here this morning, I trust that you will pocket this and take it with you as you move on in your journey in life. And I hand it back over to you for the last comment for definition.
Really, I just want to thank everybody for sharing that, you know, especially you, Mr. Bay, who really went deep and gave, you know, a real-life situation that happened to you. So, you know, that's very important for all of us to share. And, you know, it's just good that we're able to understand things like this because everybody in life, if we really need something, we're going to have to sacrifice something that we want. So thank you again.
No, thank you for raising the question. Now, I don't want anybody to go anyplace because musically we have another selection from one of our segments. So don't you go anywhere. Keep it locked.
I'm alive. like a diamond. Shine bright like a diamond. Shine bright like a diamond. So shine bright.
Okay, welcome back to Quest Community Vibrations, Quest Youth Radio, the best youth radio. Tune in every Saturday morning from 7 to 8 a.m. on WSOU 89.5 FM. Ladies and gentlemen, children, boys and girls, and everyone of all ages, specifically you adults out there, here is another Aesop fable, definitely one to make you think, and something that you can take away at whatever age and learn something. There's a message here, a moral, and I'm going to ask the panel to figure it out and tell me what it is. And here it is. The title of this particular fable is The Father and His Two Daughters. You see, a man had two daughters, the one married to a gardener, and the other a tile maker. After a time, he went to the daughter who had married the gardener and inquired how she was doing, how she fared, how all things went with her. And she said to her father, "All things are prospering with me. And I have only one wish, Dad, and there may be a heavy rainfall of in order for our plants so that they may be well watered." Not long after, he went on to the next daughter, who had married the tile maker, and likewise inquired of her how she fared. And she replied, "I want for nothing. I have only one wish, Dad, and that be dry weather, and the dry met weather, you know, may continue so that the sun shine hot and bright so that the bricks might be dry." He said to her, "If your sister's wishes for rain and you for dry weather, which of the two am I to join of the wishes?" Tanisha Gardner, can you figure out what the lesson of this particular fable is?
At the end of the day, you need both. So you have to work together. A little bit of rain and a little bit of dryness.
Okay. Well, you know, I'm not trying to be fair here. I'm definitely putting everybody on the spot, right? So that being said, let me go to Mr. Harris. He's good at figuring things out. What's the moral
of
the story?
We'll have to see about that, okay?
you know, everybody has their own needs and their own wants. And as the father, you know, he wants what's best for both of his daughters, you know, but he's not in control of the conditions that both of them want. So if I was Pop, I would just say, you know, good for you. You know, you looking for rain so your crops will grow, good for you. The other one's looking for some dryness so that your tiles can be hardened and, you know, in the sunlight, good for you. I hope you get what you want. But, you know, you can't always get what you want, but sometimes you get what you need. Rolling Stones.
Okay. Very close. The Black Librarian. Could you figure it out, man? What's the moral?
I cannot figure it out. I cannot figure it out. What I can figure out is to each his own, you know, and you can't satisfy everybody. And so everybody has to come to their own terms. Yes. Yeah. Oh, wow. Wow. I didn't know.
Finish.
I didn't realize I settled the Rosetta Stone. So you know, and to each his own. You can't satisfy everybody all the time, and they have to come to their own terms of the reality of the situation at the end. You know, and that's just what it is. You know, you can't, and you have to come to peace with it, and the person with the aberrations of whatever they want to do, they have to come to peace with the reality as well. Everybody have to come to peace with it, whether they like it or not. And if they don't come at peace with it, then that's their own struggle.
Okay. And we all, as people, human beings, have our own personal struggles. And indeed, I want everyone to remember the moral of this particular fable: you can't satisfy everyone. And very good. Everybody came close, but you hit it on the head. Now, without any further ado, it's time for our segment of Curtains, which is an exposure and analysis of artists and her particular work behind the curtain of the stage. You see, many recording artists and companies have grown rich from our community, Culture Vultures. Oh, did I say that? Of course I did. But this particular segment talks about and examines the benefits that the community has gained from the artist. Now, Curtains is a review of the musical growth and history, the impact of a particular style and genius on the general moods and attitudes of the listening audience. Musical, lyrical, and social consciousness as presented by the artist over a period of time, and streaming CD releases, no longer vinyl. I always have to say that. Well, Curtains serves best as an introduction to and an exploration of a particular artist's, and this morning, her genius and her involvement in influencing all people's style and creativity in the world today. And Walter, as you may not know, I played Shine Your Light Like a Diamond was our featured curtain, and I couldn't resist but to play that particular song. But I now hand it over to you.
Thank you. And now, again, my segment for today is on Rihanna. And see, you know, Rihanna's a Grammy Award-winning singer. And her time, and time and time again, she has proven her dedication to helping children in need, and created her Believe Foundation in 2006 to help terminally ill children. In partnership with charities across the nation, Rihanna has performed a number of concerts to raise funds for both charities and the foundation. Excuse me. After her performances, she met children from the local charities, signing autographs and posing for pictures with her young fans. Rihanna explains that her reason for starting the foundation is because as she says, when I was young and I would watch television and I would see all the children suffering, I always said, when I grow up, I want to help. You know, and I also want to name some of the actual charities and foundations that she supports currently. And you could probably go ahead and look these up and support these foundations and charities as well. And it's the Alzheimer's Association, Believe Foundation, Bid to Beat AIDS, City of Hope, the Clara Lionel Foundation, the DKMS, DoSomething.org, Kids with Network, Live Earth, Mission Australia, Red Cross, and UNICEF, and the Black Eyed Peas Foundation, and many, many more. And, you know, just also causes that she supports as well that I want to list is abuse, adoption, fostering, orphans, AIDS, HIV, Alzheimer's, at-risk, disadvantaged youth, blood, marrow, and organ donation, bullying, and cancer, and more. So as you see here, Rihanna is not just probably arguably one of the greatest pop singers of our generation. as some people might argue, but she uses her influence to go help kids in need, go help people that really need the help that they deserve. And this is what a lot of artists, I believe, should follow and understand that, you know, once you get to a certain level, you got to start sacrificing, as we said earlier, and giving back to others as well, if you want to see the world continue to progress and be great. And besides that, that concludes my segment on Rihanna. Again, you are tuned in to 89.5 WSOU, and this is student host, Walker Pierce.
Rihanna, good girl going bad, take three, action, no clouds in my stones, let it rain, I hide the plane in the bank, coming down like a Dow Jones, when the clouds come we go, we Rockefellers, we fly high than weather, and deep eyes are better, you know me, in anticipation for precipitation, back chips with a rainy day, Jay, Rain Man is back, with Little Miss Sunshine, Rihanna, where you at?
Okay, we're back, and I want to bring on our number one fan. Yeah, you're up next. Val, good morning. First of all, I want, when we brainstorm the radio team, that is, and we talk about different subjects and things that we need to talk about, one of the things that keeps on coming up is financial literacy. And quickly, tell us the importance of financial literacy, and also share with us your thoughts about today's podcast. That's a lot.
Okay. Well, good morning, because I did have my thoughts about today's podcast. You already know Muhammad Ali was the man. And I'm telling you, it was, so you know that was my favorite. Service to others is the rent you pay for the room here on earth. One of his many favorite quotes. But, yes, he was. He epitomized sacrifice and service and respect for yourself, love of self, all of, you know, all of those. In spite of all the many faults he had so many wonderful attributes, and he was so revered and loved in his old age because of the great things he did in his youth. Getting back to your first question that you asked on financial literacy, of course it's important. I guess, you know, Mr. Bay, we're around the same age, so you know, back when we were coming along, we had those classes that taught us about you know, basic financial literacy and management management activities that we had to do. So yeah, I mean, it's very important. And now with all of the availability of learning how to invest and getting different streams of income and all of those things, it's very important for people of color to try and regain those, you know, types of attributes, because years ago when there was no other choice, they learned to do those things, and we kind of gotten away from it. Over these many years, and it's nice for us to come together and have investment groups and businesses where we're learning and discussing and teaching each other about building legacies for our families.
Okay. Thank you so much. I'm going to let that be your last word, but thank you for your contribution and your input. We want to quickly bring in Calvin. Calvin, what you think about quickly today's show, Mr. Pierce?
As always, great show, great commentary. You guys are great. Keep up the great work.
Okay, thank you so much, Tanisha. Quickly,
hello. All right, it was a good show.
Okay. All right, so Mr. Harris?
One wonderful show, and I'll sacrifice the rest of my time.
the Black Librarian, Samir.
Great show. Great show.
Okay. And finally, our student host, wrap it up. Take it away, Walter.
I want to thank everybody for tuning in to another edition of Quest Community Vibrations, live on 89.5 from the campus of CN Hall in South Orange. Quest Youth Radio is the best youth radio.
The best youth radio.
Yeah. I want you.